I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast starts now.
Okay, it does start now, but I'm like, we were already being so funny. I'm going to include like most of that. I'm going to include both what we were just saying. And then also before that, when we were syncing our audio files, I think that'd be really cool.
I think that was some of the funniest stuff we've ever done. And I think you absolutely should include it. I think we were clapping on the beat. Our audio is so synced up, and I can tell because that process was smooth as butter, which
it
is
was
smooth.
Smooth as butter. Smooth. You know, it is. We say some of our funniest things right before or right after we record.
Yes, this podcast is incredible at how we turn on those mics and the funny falls off.
I had that thought last night because I was watching tennis. Okay. Jock. And they were saying that this one woman, like, she feels like she does so well in practices and then she can never get it together to perform well in the tournaments. And I was like, on the one hand, relatable. On the other hand, I mean, that's kind of when you need to be good.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, you chose to be a tennis player. Like, no one's making you be a tennis player. Like,
that's an insane thing to say. And clearly that's like part of her messaging enough so that the announcers know that that's what they should say. Like, she was like, she told her PR, can you get in touch with ESPN and just tell them that, like, I actually do really well in practices? Like, so much so that then as I was watching this, they were like, you know, what's interesting about her is that she does really well in practices, but not so much on the court.
I mean, what a genius rumor to have spread about you, because then whenever you're doing badly in the game, that's when everyone's watching and you'd be like, well, actually, it was really, really good yesterday, but no one saw it.
I think, in fact, from now on, when I kind of apply for, when I am in the running for, let's say, a writing job, I will send in a packet, but then I will also send in a supplement that says, you know, just so you know, like, this isn't his best work, but like, trust me, when he's outside of this environment, like when he doesn't have to do something for an application or for a job or like in a writer's room, he is fucking funny.
To be fair, you know, I do think if you are a person that is submitting packets and that is your best work, you're a psychopath.
That's
definitely not where you're supposed to be the funniest or best version of yourself.
No. Whenever I've gotten a job from a packet, which has been a total of 1.5 times, I always say, should I quit?
Yeah. It's like, okay, if I'm getting this job, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a wake up call.
It's a wake up call, and you have to listen to those moments and you have to reflect.
God, Sam, I'm just having this insane thought that this is like we are reaching a form of back and forth that is reminiscent of our early days. What do you think?
I think you're totally right. I can't help but notice that there is no delay for the first time in a while. Both of our mics sound okay. And we can actually have like natural rapport in a way that is, you know, pre-pandemic.
It's crazy because people don't know. People will listen to our episodes, maybe the ones that are more strained, shall we say, the ones that are less natural, shall we say, and they will say, wow, they've really lost their natural flow. And it's like, no, imagine me truly trudging through the woods. I mean, that's what this tech is like. I never hear anything you're saying. You don't hear. We just have to guess based on body language.
Here's the thing. We did not go to tech university. We didn't study at tech or any of those things. We are learning that we're self-taught techs forced by the pandemic to learn tech.
And I didn't even take the podcasting requirement in my master's degree.
I mean, and why would you? It's absolutely upsetting that people are making us do tech now. And the fact that we have, you know, taken on that burden and managed to thrive just shows how powerful we can be when we work together.
Tech is one of those things. It's like, you know, in the same way that you learn trigonometry and you're like, when am I ever going to need this? You know, my parents tried to teach me how to podcast and I said, this feels so like not, this feels very like conservative. Like, is this part of church, you know? And then sure enough, now I'm older and I don't know how to count or podcast.
Oh my God. I mean, I definitely remember podcasting the segment. Sunday school.
Podcasting and, Sunday school.
And I was always, you know, joking off in the back, throwing pieces of
I was jerking off. And whenever I would go to podcasting Sunday school, they would try to teach us how to, you know, do the levels correctly. I'd be in the back just fap, fap, fap.
Okay, well, George, I actually wasn't jerking off. I was joking off.
I know. I was yes-anding you and making it more ridiculous.
No, George, you were denying me. You were no-butting me. And you were saying, no, you weren't joking off. You're jerking your little prick.
First of all, I did not call it little. But second of all, you at least were working on a different skill, which is joking, which actually is useful in a podcast. I was not even doing that.
Well, you know, jerking off is a useful skill as well.
That's true.
You know, it's not like you're going to stop anytime soon. Got him.
No, I have stopped. I only did it when I was younger.
Oh, well, congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's deeply immoral.
Oh, sure. Well, it's bad for you.
Yeah, no, it's bad for your skin.
Yeah, and you are glowing.
Yeah, I know. It's because I haven't. It's because I am a virgin and I've never masturbated.
Yeah, I mean, you're furious and you're so tense, but your skin is glowing.
Yeah, well, that's actually, it's funny. Your skin, it's good for your skin, but you are constantly tense and furious. It's the tightness in your face translate, or the tightness inside of you translates to a tightness in the face.
Yeah, yeah. You know that thing where people are like, it actually uses more muscles to frown than it does to smile. That's kind of what it is to be deeply horny all the time. It's even more muscles to do that. And that's good because that means you're staying tight.
Okay, wow.
So that's science for today. That's the science corner. Should we bring in our guest?
Yes, she is a scientist.
Specializing in all things science. Please give it up. Did you have another riff, George?
I mean, you know, I mean, not anymore.
Well, I could see it in your eyes. There's still time. We can even edit it around, make it sound natural.
No, I'm really proud of myself that I thought of the joke that she's a scientist. Like, I think that was so kind of like in tune with what we were saying. And I feel like it's funny to introduce someone as a scientist, you know, especially a woman. I'll say it. It's good for representation. I thought I was being both funny and social justice.
George, you can't think it's funny that it's a woman scientist and have that be social justice.
No. I think it's funny because she's not a scientist, but it's social justice because I'm implying, yeah, she could be.
George, you are in a damn trap. I have got you right where I want you.
I know you're literally ignoring everything I'm saying. Is I'm like making a perfect joke and social commentary. It's so rare that happens. I mean, the only other person I know who does that is Trevor Noah on The Daily Show. And yet you're pretending that I'm like, you know, digging a hole for myself or something, when in fact, this is good.
People are going to play this part of the podcast back over and over on twitter.com and say, supposed ally to women, George, proves that he is a gay misogynist just like the rest of them.
Oh, God, I'm not gay.
And with that, let's bring in our guest, the scientist, Anna Fabrega.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Anna, that already, the self-love you're displaying in not saying hello, but cheering for yourself. to be introduced.
The scientist in the room.
Oh, okay. So
them in here. Woo!
Oh, I see. So you are clapping, if anything, for me, because I was the one who thought of the joke that you're a scientist.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah. I was introing, pretending, you know, there's an audience here, as there will be at home. And I don't know, I was under the impression that there was a live audience component.
Right.
Right. I can see how you got that. You know, people are known to sort of sit around and listen to our podcast in groups.
Yeah. Well, and we did, you know, in all fairness, in our email to you, we said, would you like to do our stadium tour? Mm-hmm. And you said yes, and then you were very surprised when we sent you a Zoom link.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, sometimes you have to kind of oversell something so someone will say yes.
Yeah, but even if I had known it was a Zoom link all along, I would have said yes.
Oh wow, wow. That's good.
Yeah, because you guys are my friends. Yeah.
Wow. Anna, how are you doing today?
Today in particular, I'm okay. I've had trouble sleeping this week, and waking up today was no easier than it was yesterday or the day before.
You got a big test coming up?
Yeah, I was up late cramming last night, and
this morning
I just kind of wanted to run through my flashcards before walking into class, but
how do you think you did?
I feel okay. If I do 3 or better, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I can't believe we're going to be seniors next year.
I know. It's been a long 8 years here, but here we go.
Here we go. Go Wildcats.
Here we go. Yeah. And then I had therapy, which I usually do right after school, you know. had therapy. And then was, you know, just thinking about my fucked up life.
Yeah, so true.
Then went for a walk, and then I read, I made lunch, and just tried kind of all day to sort of distance myself from what I was thinking about from therapy.
Yeah, no, that happens. That'll happen. You know, I have to say, I as someone who for the past 2 years has had therapy in the mornings, it's like, what am I doing? Like, why would you want to start your day off that way?
I think it's good because you kind of like get it over with. But when when you have those sessions that are like really heavy, that are like, I don't know, that you know, if you start thinking about it too much, it'll be too hard.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those days where I've just kind of been all day trying to like, okay, I'll kind of deal with this later. I don't really have the bandwidth for it right now.
Well, thank God you're on a podcast.
Good luck making that funny on the podcast. Being useful for once.
No, we can definitely edit that. That's going to sound really, really funny. Yeah.
Okay, so Anna,
add a bunch of air horns to it.
So I think this will actually really help. What did you talk about in therapy but make it funny?
Yeah, that's always a really good thing.
It's our classic segment. What did you talk about in therapy this week and make it funny? Sam, it's been so long since we introduced a new segment.
That's true.
We
did it, baby.
Wow.
You know, a new segment anytime.
Anna, if you could dream up a segment for our podcast, what would it be?
Whoopsie-doo.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. I love that. And we talk about mistakes?
Real life bloopers.
Oh my God, you are being bad.
Whoopsie.
Okay, America's funniest home videos, but it's like, it's not on video. It just happened.
Yeah. We're just kind of talking about it.
America's funniest conversations.
Oh yeah. Okay, maybe new podcast title.
Whoopsie-doo. Yeah.
Whoopsie-doo : America's funniest conversation. We should rename our podcast that.
I think that's really catchy, kind of fun.
Yeah. Now, can I ask, I just realized that I'm reflecting on the scientist intro that the podcast is called Straight Lab.
Stradio Lab,
sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, play on Radio Lab, I know. But what is the lab portion?
So the lab portion is that in each episode, we investigate a different element of straight culture. So it started in our initial pitch for the big wigs. Mm-hmm. We were like, imagine us as being like anthropologists meets like radio storytellers, and we're taking something like fraternities and like getting to the bottom of it. So that's how it started. I mean, in practice, what happens is we usually talk kind of like this for close to an hour, and then at the very end we're like, what's the topic?
it happened naturally, and this is actually a really good this kind of brings us back to our first segment from the Lost episodes called Do We Like Our Title?
And
I would agree with you that this podcast is extremely misleading. It's not really scientific. It's not even that much about straight culture.
No.
And
if anything, it's about gay culture.
Yeah, and like I said, and but that's our sister podcast, Gaydio Lab, which is actually weirdly about all things straight.
It's crazy.
It's confusing. But I do feel, you know, Anna, if you could pitch sort of a new title, we'd absolutely be open to hearing it. Because, you know, this podcast is always growing and changing.
Okay, how about George and Sam?
Okay, already I'm like, that makes sense.
That makes sense, but it definitely, that title erases the fact that there is a guest, and I think that the guests will get really upset.
George and Sam and .. Stay tuned to find out.
Wow.
You can put stay tuned to find out right in the title.
That is so true.
That's really good.
So, Anna, as a guest, when you heard the name, were you scared of coming on? Were you, hey, I'm not ready to talk science, or hey, I don't want to talk straight?
Woman of guest experience, how does that make you feel?
I felt like I wasn't an expert in any of those categories, in the straight part, in the lab part, in the podcast part, in the guest part. So I thought, I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm, you know, faking it.
Yeah, well, you're the first person we've had that isn't a professional guest. And it is a risk, you know, and we'll see how it goes. But I do think that one of the criticisms we got is that the podcast feels very elitist because we only have professional guests on. So we thought, why not open it up to the community and just have anyone on?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Should we do our, not to sound like totally a podcast or whatever.
Wait, are we like not letting Anna speak? Anna, don't answer this. This is between Sam and me.
I think we are letting Anna speak. I think one thing we are doing that's kind of weird is we're kind of giving Anna prompts that feel extremely like prompty.
Yeah.
Where she has to like come up with like a quick answer. Anna, please don't put your input in right now.
Yeah, no, it's not. This is not about you. But so should we maybe, when we bring her back in, like just try to act more natural?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trying to be unnatural. I feel like I was being normal. I just feel
Well, no one's trying to be unnatural. I'm just saying, how's it coming across?
Okay, fine. Fine.
Okay, we'll bring Anna back in and just be natural. Okay,
please. Okay. This is us being normal. Please give it up for comedian Anna Fabrega.
Anna, I love you in Los Espookies.
Oh, thank you so much, George.
Okay, what was it like? Is that character based on you?
Is it based on me?
Like, how did you draw, like, from your life when you were, like, writing that character?
I feel like it's a lot of different things that
that's
I've always
so
been
funny.
Drawing.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah. Just a bunch of different stuff. You know, a lot of my favorite pop culture references were crammed in there. A lot
I love
of hot
pop day. Culture.
Yeah, I just, you know, feel a big connection to sort of the bumbling idiot. You know what I mean?
Wow. Well,
Hey,
catch Los Spookies on Thursdays on CBS.
Hey, George, can we talk? I feel like you were really interrupting Anna a lot right there. Anna, can
I mean, I just listen. She's here to promote her show, and I'm asking about her show.
Okay, but she's literally not here to promote her show. Like, we just asked her to be on the podcast. Just like,
no,
to be
the,
on
the 15th season is premiering last Tuesday.
I thought you said it was Thursdays on CBS.
Well, it's reruns.
Okay, when we bring her back in, can we please be normal?
Okay, you can take it from here. We'll bring it back in, and then you can be normal. I tried.
Okay, please give it up for human person.
Funny.
Anna Fabrega.
Woo!
So, Anna. Mm-hmm.
How'd I'm leaving room for footsteps.
Pitter, patter, pitter, patter, pitter, patter. You know, you're growing up. What led you to comedy?
The big red curtain, the brick wall.
Yes.
The drink tickets.
Yes.
The smelly mics.
Yes.
Wow.
I wanted it. I knew I had to get it. So I went out and I took it.
Wow, Sam, you were better at that than I was. You really got kind of to the core truth of what it means to be human.
The meat of it.
The meat of it.
He got to the meat of it.
When I have got that drink ticket in my hand and those thoughts in my head, I'm a god up there. Nothing can stop me from telling my truth.
I always go up holding my drink ticket and I look at the audience and I wave the ticket around and I say, none of you can take this away from me.
No matter how well or not I do, no one can take this from me.
You know,
I actually feel like I do some of my best material right before and right after I perform.
They,
you know?
They sent, your rep sent us that as part of your bio.
Yeah. As soon as I get up there, it's kind of like, I wish everyone knew, like, oh, just so you know, a minute ago, everyone was cracking the fuck up behind this.
Yeah.
Behind
no, I always say, and people love that because that gets them in the mood. They're like, well, if someone else already cracked up, maybe I can crack up.
Yeah.
You know, there are, you know, I do feel like there's like a genre of comedian that this is real for, where it's like, they think they're like,
it
they
is
really...
a real thing.
They like crush at mics or whatever when it's like them and their boys, and then they'll go do a show and totally eat it all the time. And people are like, no, but he's really good. I saw him at the mic.
Yeah. It just happens. And people that are really funny that, you know, not even just at mics, but just in general are very funny. And then they go up and you're like, oh, damn, why doesn't it translate?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll meet someone who's funny and they're not even a comedian.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then I run into that, and I'm always like, you gotta go to a mic. My eyes just glaze over. I'm like, you gotta go to a mic.
Yeah, when I meet, you know, maybe it's a friend, significant other at a party, or maybe it's at, you know, in a park, someone will say something, even the least bit, you know, maybe I'll have a chuckle. I immediately get into the zone of like, want to come with me to this mic? I'm going right after. Well, Anna, I think it's time for our first real segment.
And this segment's real. This one's not fake.
Yeah, yeah, not like
don't
some
know
other
what
segments.
To believe, but okay.
So this segment is called Straight Shooters. George, do you want to explain that you're so good at it?
In this segment, I'll take it from here. In this segment, we try to gauge our guests' familiarity with straight culture by giving them a series of rapid fire kind of A or B questions. We're going to just throw two ideas at you and you just have to pick one. And the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how it works.
Okay.
You passed. Anna, broccoli or cauliflower?
Broccoli.
Anna, RoboCop or BioCop?
BioCop.
Authentic Italian food or inauthentic Thai food?
Inauthentic Thai food.
Anna, coming out of the closet or coming into money through a mysterious relative?
coming into money through mysterious relatives.
Anna, being judgmental about other people smoking weed and being kind of on a high horse, or being pro-weed but like not realizing you actually do have a problem?
Being pro-weed and not realizing you have a problem.
Anna, the auto industry or the auto-erotic industry, such as fleshlights and etc.?
The auto industry.
Whole wheat or whole pick?
Whole wheat.
I'm out of that. Wow, incredible. So, Anna, we, one, I would love
to
know.
Wow, you're short-circuiting.
Shut up. No, I'm not. I'm being normal. Anna, I would love to know sort of your thought process behind picking those answers.
You know, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to pick what I identified with, what I didn't like, what I did like, because there were no follow-up questions.
Yeah,
so
no one knows
one
what it's supposed to be.
Okay,
I love that. And now we give you a score of 1 to 1,000 doves.
I have to say, you know, Sam, we didn't give our last guest a score, and I felt very liberated by that. I said, why be limited by numbers?
Okay, I guess we can just drop giving people a score.
What if we give a score, but it's not based on numbers, it's based on vibes?
Okay. Well, I mean, vibes is so binary, it's either good or bad.
No. Vibes can be anything. What if we rated Anna based on what color her aura was?
Okay.
Okay, I'm getting a very regal maroon.
I was getting sort of a burnt orange.
Oh, okay. So it's in the vicinity of red orange.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Anna?
Is that good? Oh. Or it's anybody's guess. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry I asked. None of my business. How do you guys want to judge? I'm sorry.
No.
Anna, do you believe in things like auras or astrology or things like that?
I do. I don't know much about them, but if someone that knows about astrology starts talking to me about it, I am eating it up. But I don't remember any of it.
Me either. I have somewhere on my phone, I have a screenshot of when I looked up what my rising and moon and sun sign were. Mm-hmm. And the photo is maybe from 2017, and every time someone asks me what they are, I have to try to find it in my phone.
Yeah.
I'm similar. I don't know anything about it. You do. What are you?
I know a lot of my basic things. What confuses me though is the different systems for the house signs, and in certain forms, like whole sign houses, like shift some of my placements, and so then I'm like, are these things in the third house or are they in the fourth house? Because they change depending on what system I use.
I don't even know what houses are.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that was an option.
Oh, yeah, because you have, you know, you know how a chart looks, like the circle?
Yeah.
Right? So you have the sign that it's in and then the house that it's in. And the house has, I mean, a big influence on what, how that aspect is sort of plays out in your chart.
Oh my God. See, the once again, location.
Yeah.
I hope my houses are lakeside.
Yeah, same. I hope mine's in Manhattan.
Oh, you bitch.
Interesting. Whenever someone talks about astrology, I'm like, can you tell me how I'm going to die? And they never can.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, you know, I love astrology memes.
Me too.
But the signs that I don't know too much about, I just kind of skip over those. But then I go to like, I'm a Leo son. I go to the Leo ones and I'm like, ha, so true. And then
same. Yeah. I do it I'm a Cancer. And then I know about Scorpios because they're like evil.
Yeah.
And then I know about, I think those are the only two I know about.
I think I know about Aquarius because they're a little psycho, maybe.
Wait, are they? My boyfriend's an Aquarius.
So is mine.
Not necessarily. I don't know enough to explain why, but I just know it's not that. I mean people say that about Gemini, the Geminis are crazy, but I'm like, my girlfriend's a Gemini, she's not crazy. I'm a Gemini rising.
Anna, I really hope that you have the right answer to this. You're still dating the person you've been dating. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I hope that you have the right answer to
this. Just because, well, I just mean, like, what if I was like, I hope you're still dating Nuala, right? And you were like, no, we broke up years ago and I haven't heard from her.
No, she's dead and I am still getting away with it. So let's not fuck that up for me.
Whenever I talk to like old friends and it's like, I hate to be like, wait, what do you do? Like, I know like you were my best friend for like 8 years, but like, what is your deal with it?
I know, because a lot of people have jobs that you're just like, okay, wait, what? Like, oh, I'm a integrated account manager. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I do think, Sam, you were like that with me for most of our early friendship.
Yeah. With George, I definitely was like that with you. And honestly,
what did you do, George?
Well, I like, since I've lived in New York, have had the same day job, which is that I work as a researcher at a journalism research center.
And I hear that and I just go like,
it is like a difficult one. There is too many words. Like, it's too many words. But the reason I brought up Nuala is because, sorry to once again dox her, but a fun fact about Nuala, which, Sam, I don't know if you know, is that I knew her before Anna did, and she is this weird tie to my, like, it's such a specific part of my life because Nuala is my ex's cousin's friend.
What?
I know. And we, like, knew each other in Boston when I lived in Boston.
Is she from Boston?
She's from like outside of Boston, yeah.
Yeah, from Cambridge, or like, yeah, somewhere outside that. Or no, not from Cambridge, but yeah, she's from Massachusetts. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with this, but I'm glad you're still together.
Yeah, when early on when we were seeing each other and we went to, there was someone's birthday. I think it was Angelo's birthday.
Maybe, yeah.
I went, and you were there, and I was with her. And that's where she was like, oh, he, like, she said something that made it clear that she knew. And I was like, wait, you know George? How do you know George? And she's like, oh, from, you know, Boston, whatever. But she said that you, when I had my back turned to you, that you looked at her and pointed at me like,
you know? Oh, that sounds like me.
Yeah. And then she was like, yeah, and you're like,
oh, good.
You
know, like, I thought from the beginning I knew it was a good match.
Yeah. George, I also like that you were surprised that you were approving. You're like, oh, good. I'm glad I did that.
No, I was not. I distinctly remember. And it's actually weird because in my memory, I thought at least that I had already had a conversation with you, but maybe not. Maybe that was when I realized. Oh, I love that for me.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I should have directed that better. And you were talking the same time.
Should we cut?
Should we take a really quick breather?
Okay, cut.
Okay, cut.
Oh my God. This is so exhausting. My God.
This actually blows. No, everything we're saying sounds so stupid.
Can I tell you guys something that I think is so funny? It's really stupid because it's something I thought of and I'm like, ha, this is so funny. But to be in a job interview, I saw Lorelai and Amy with Nuala like a few days ago. We were talking about like work and jobs. I don't know what, and about interviews. And when they ask you questions that are those sort of like generic, like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Kinds of things that, even though most people kind of have like a script for them that sometimes you sort of blank in the moment. And I told them, I was like, when that happens, you should say, you know, they ask you to say like, what are some of your strengths? Well, I think, I'm sorry, do you hear that? You cover your ears. Like, it's really hard.
Wait, so in this scenario, what are you hearing?
Yeah, no, you make it up. To not answer,
you're like, because you can't think of the answer. You can't think of the answer. So rather than answering the question, you're like, oh yeah, my strengths are, oh my God. Oh my God, what is that? Can you hear that?
And then you cover your ears in pain.
Wait, I love that. What if, like, at this stage in your life, suddenly you had to do a job interview where they asked you what your strengths and weaknesses are? I would kill myself.
I would kill myself. I knew I was applying to a job and was like, oh my God, I have to write a cover letter. And I thought it, and I had flashbacks to writing cover letters. And I was like, oh my God, that's the worst thing in the world.
It's degrading. It's sad. I mean, everything that we, like, having a podcast is degrading, but that's degrading.
Yeah. Writing a cover letter, it just feels like such a dated and, like, generic sort of thing that, like, so many companies do, no matter what you're doing, even though it's completely irrelevant. You know, some of the answers to those generic questions or the cover letter, it's just like, oh, that sucks. Why haven't we sort of, like, evolved past that?
I know. Well, and also it's all a charade. Like, no one actually reads those cover letters. The person that's going to get hired is, like, the boss's niece that just graduated from NYU.
Yeah. And she's actually really fun, by the way.
Yeah, I actually really like her. And, you know, people say that, like, she only gets things because of her uncle, but, like, she's really cool. And honestly, she's funny.
She is funny. And she's, like, really, like, she works hard and she knows everyone. Like, she just is nice. Like, it's not her fault that people, like, naturally like her.
It's not. Yeah, like, yes, she's 22, you know. But I think she's really cool. She created her own major called Integrity.
Which is so smart.
At NYU, the one where you create your own major.
Gallatin.
Oh, I was like, Gilligan. Gallatin. Wrong.
At NYU Gilligan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really like her.
We really like her here.
She's been a guest on this podcast many times.
I've heard her episodes over and over because she's insightful in a way that I feel like most 22-year-olds aren't. It's like she's living a thousand lives.
I agree.
Almost like she's a cat, really. I think you could say that she's very much like a cat, you know, on account of all the lives.
She is biologically speaking, she's a feline.
On account of the lives.
On the lives, also just the fact that she is a cat.
Oh, right.
Anyway, I'm really sorry she got that job and Nuala didn't.
It's okay. Nuala doesn't know shit about the pharmaceutical industry anyways.
Well, should we stop taking our podcast break? I feel so well rested.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Action.
Action.
Okay.
So we were deep into how it felt to be a woman in comedy in 2020. Please, elaborate.
Oh my God. First of all, no one has ever asked me that. So thank you. Being a woman in comedy, especially in 2020, is an honor and a privilege. Because you get to sit at home and watch people spiral making videos all day wondering, I hope they're okay. It is an honor to step back and just watch for once in my life instead of having to go, you know, like a little dog in a dog show every night hoping you get the ribbon from the audience, you know. And especially as a woman, because we're brought up to, like, first of all, no backpacks, even though where the hell am I supposed to put my shit? And we're freezing because our skirts are well above our knees. But we're smiling because God forbid that we frown, you know? It's just been so insane, especially because, like, I want to get back to normal. I'm like 2019's looking pretty good right about now. And when you're especially a woman in 2020, it's like, can things get any weirder? You know? I feel like Sisyphus every day. I'm pushing a boulder up a hill only to have it push me down. And I'm sick and tired of waiting and I just want my results already.
Yeah, where are the results?
Yeah.
Well, Anna, you know, we still have to grade those tests. I'm sure they'll be here.
Wow, Anna, that was a really weird valedictorian speech.
Yeah. I gave my class, what is it called? Yeah, valedictorian speech. I gave
the one where they say a woman can give that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just led a big "We Will Rock You" with clapping on the beat and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, there actually was when my sister graduated and I went to her graduation ceremony, graduated high school. There was a girl who gave like a speech, and she did a rap, And I'll never forget that he rapped.
I mean, I already feel like I will never forget you telling me that.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry if you see my arm swinging. I'm just trying to get my watch to think I'm getting steps in.
Misha told me that at his college graduation, that's the person that gave the valedictorian speech saying, "Born this way."
Wow.
Oh my God. Acapella? He graduated from the...
Acapella.
From 3 minutes and 30 seconds long.
From Chromatica University.
Well, he literally, it's so funny. He went to RISD and it's like, you're thinking like these cool art people are going to like be like so over it. And they're like, no, we're singing Born This Way at our damn graduation. In earnest. In complete earnest.
That's really funny.
Huh. Also, yeah, it's a slay. What?
I thought that song was kind of new.
I think it was brand new at the time.
Yeah, okay. Because for a second I was like, wait, is Misha 22?
Yeah.
Wait, you think Born This Way? Born This Way was literally like 10 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 5 years ago.
It came out in 2010 or 11.
Yeah, it was 10 or 11 because it was that academic year. Yeah, it was back when, you know,
when guys could be guys back... and girls could be girls.
Exactly. Thank you.
You could just say whatever you wanted. No, none of this PC bullshit.
Yeah, there was none of this, oh, he pronouns, you know, who's gonna change this time?
Yeah.
No.
And shorts were long then. And shorts were long. Because that's what men wear. I mean, I'm going crazy.
That's what guys do.
And so what if we want a damn man cave? That's where we watch the fucking game. I'm going crazy.
I have a man cave.
Oh,
is that true?
Yeah. In my bedroom, I turned it into a man cave.
That's so sick.
Yeah. Girls in bikinis, my favorite pro sports team, jerseys up, big 80-inch plasma screen TV.
I mean, the thing is, honestly, Anna, if we went into your bedroom and there were posters of like girls in sports bikinis everywhere, that would be the funniest thing on earth. I would absolutely love that die. So much.
And it, like, and then we like talk to Nula, and Nula's like, "Well, that's what she likes."
Like, it would kind of be genius.
Blonde, big boobs with like a Lakers logo on the bikini bottom, and I'm like, "Yeah, I love the Lakers, and I think she's beautiful."
Wait, I do like. Yeah, I love when, you know, when sometimes the word beautiful can be more offensive than the word, you know, hot chick or something, where you're like, yeah, she's a fucking beautiful girl.
She's beautiful. You know, I was thinking about that kind of stuff because I've been watching Sex and the City very slowly in quarantine because I've never seen all of it. And just seems like the right time to watch it.
Yeah, well, you have to watch it slowly because it really takes a while to get all the references and get all the jokes and get all the...
Yeah.
It's a dense text.
Yeah, but I just watched the episode where, I think it's in season 3, near the end of season 3, when they go to Los Angeles and they go to Hugh Hefner's mansion.
Yep.
And I was thinking about like that whole world and I was like, oh yeah, he died not too long ago and people were like, he was a man of class. Yeah. And just being like, oh, wait, what? Why did he say that shit? This is his whole thing. Because, beautiful blonde girls, big boobs, surrounding me.
It is like, it's like, beautiful. It's like, not only is it, because people are always like, oh, it's okay for men to be sluts, but not women. Like, that's its own thing. But not just that, but taking it a step further and being like, this is a sign of sophistication.
Yeah.
And it was like a... Part of me wants to be like when it started, there was like context where it was like sexual liberation was like new and it was like against something. But then it like, he clearly was just like, okay, well now I'm just horny and want like weird, like sex objects around me. Like, this isn't chill anymore.
Yeah. But when I was watching Sex and the City, I was like, I wonder if when they filmed this, people were like, oh my God, it's so cool. Hugh Hefner's on it. Or if people were like, oh, why is Hugh Hefner on this?
Well, I mean...
The PR behind Hugh Hefner is, for some reason, was so good all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it did not it didn't need to be. And people were truly like, anything was like, that's cool. They got him. Like, they got Hugh.
Well, it's the high low thing. Cause Playboy would also publish, like, you know, there's a famous Playboy interview with like Jimmy Carter.
Right.
Like, it would also publish like a lot of good writers wrote for it. And then it would have like the Playboy interview was like a big deal. And I mean, even now, I don't know.
I mean, you it's do still wonder. Around, right?
No, it is still around. And in fact, now it's under a new... Now they're trying to, like, woke it up. And, like, you do think, like, who is this for? Like, there was a thing where, like, Ezra Miller was kind of, like, dressed up as a Playboy bunny. And it was kind of like, oh, like, a new era of Playboy. And you're like, well, that's cool. But then... Are you then going to replace the existing audience with a new audience, or are you counting on the horny men being like, I really like this thoughtful non-binary actor?
I mean, also just if they're trying to change their image, you know, to be like more woke, it's still at the end of the day, like, who's running that company? It's, you know, probably straight white men.
No, it's that girl who's a cat.
That's the job she interviewed for.
God, she applied for that job and she got it.
In the chair, like, she got it.
Wait.
And then she posted when she got it. She was like, excited for a new era, and now it's gonna be badass and feminist.
Wait, is she really the CEO or like really runs it?
Who?
The cat woman. I thought you were joking, but then I'm like, wait.
I'm so confused.
There is no Catwoman.
Yes, there is. The one who had like implants done and whispers.
Oh, her. No, the woman who's a Catwoman is not now the CEO of Playboy. Oh my god.
I mean, I wish. I think she deserves it.
Wait, remember when like those that was such a story? It was like the woman that looks like a cat and then the human Ken doll.
Wait, I don't know the human Ken doll.
Oh yeah, it's this guy that got a lot of surgery and like looks like a human Ken doll.
There's also the human Barbie that she got a lot of surgery to look like Barbie.
Well, that's good though.
I think we should bring in our topic now that we're 50 minutes in.
Oh yeah, it's about that time.
Anna, do you want to tell us the topic and how you came to it?
The topic is wearing pajamas out to run errands. And it's based on real life, just seeing it a lot. And it's when you see it, there's no doubt it's a cis straight person.
This is one of those topics that's based on real events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much like some of the best films.
Yeah,
and not to mention TV
already
shows.
Already, I'm thinking A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
This is such a straight thing. I think about this a lot because I wish I've literally thought about pajama pants outside as like a goal. Where I've been like, one day I hope that I can wear them outside. Like, I think that would, if I'm at a place mentally where I'm comfortable wearing pajama pants outside, I feel like I'm extremely confident. I'm comfortable with myself and I've kind of made it in a mental health way.
Is that how you feel when you see straight people wearing pajamas to bodega? Like, oh, they're so confident. They've made it. Their mental
health.
Sam,
do you think I wish I was like this?
Uh-huh. I see it and I think, look at like they are comfortable within their own skin and they're not trying to prove anything to anyone.
And they don't care what anyone thinks.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Meanwhile,
I love those people.
I'm putting on a fur to go to the bodega. I'm saying, oh, is this too much? Oh, do these earrings match my fur? It's absurd.
Sam has fur earrings.
It's a funny thing because I, like, you know, I've run out and I feel like in the winter I'll do it because I have a coat on and you can't see that I'm wearing like a pajama shirt or something like that. But there's something specifically about pajama pants when they're rolled at the waist.
Yes. No, I know exactly what you're
talking about. Public is like, wow, how can you do that?
Well, it's also such a college thing. I mean, I even found it weird in college, but like, it is a thing that I feel people will do in college where they will like go to class in pajama pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think it's this kind of thing where like a lot of people that went to maybe, you know, what's a college?
I'm blanking. I can't think of a single college.
Just make one up.
Make one up.
Okay. Cincinnati State. And then it's like those people move to the city and they're like, yeah, this is my campus. Like I own it. Like this is my mm-hmm. playground. It's like this kind of thing where it's like, have some respect. I mean, you know, Keith Haring lived here.
Yeah. Which is what I say when I see people in pajamas. I'm like, really? Keith Haring lives here.
And in many ways, he still does through his art.
Yes. through the Keith Haring Estates collaboration with Uniqlo.
The thing that makes me laugh about pajama pants out in the world is, you know, they're just so comfortable. As if they're wearing pants that are so uncomfortable that they just cannot stand to wear them out, you know? So what's up with your pants if they're so uncomfortable that you have to go out in pajamas? Because,
For me, the way around all of this is if I want to be comfortable outside, I will put on exercise clothes and pretend I just exercised.
Mm-hmm.
At least have the courtesy to put on kind of an Adidas track pant.
Well, I do. I have tasteful sweatpants that, you know, some people just think are cool pants.
Yeah.
And I do think that is the right avenue to go. I do, you know, George knows where I'm going with this. Listeners may know how I feel about this. You know, there's something kind of erotic about sort of the pajama pant when a man wears it. You wonder what's underneath that flannel.
And often you don't have to wonder.
And often there's nothing, and you can kind of see their genitals, which I like. And also, it implies sort of a dad, suburban father, like running out in the snow energy, and that is inherently hot to me.
Uh huh.
So but don't you prefer a sweatpant for that rather than a flannel pajama pant?
I think pajama pant implies a different mood. I think sweatpant I'll take, and it's more common. But to see a flannel is sort of like a sweatpant that's been maybe even dragged up a little. Like it's more specific, and they really like that's a father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a dad.
Interesting. Anna, your rebuttal.
You know, I it's something I've always felt a deep like aversion to. Not in a like how dare you do that, but just in a how can you do that? If I'm in pajamas, you know, in my head it's also, I mean, I have sort of like a weird cleanliness sort of thing with it too, where I'm like, I wouldn't wear pants that I'm going to be like in bed with, like wearing out to the bodega, because I don't want
to just have, like you wouldn't outside. Wear jeans to go to sleep.
Yeah. I don't want outside stuff on my indoor clothes.
Totally.
You know? You got house slippers, you don't wear those outside, they're for inside the house only.
That's I have house Birkenstocks and outdoor Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
And I won't apologize for it.
And wow. You don't have to.
Honestly, I think some of you should be apologizing. That's too many Birkenstocks for one person. Like, there's a lot of people in this nation that go without one pair of Birkenstocks. Meanwhile, you're hoarding two.
Well, it's that program, buy one, donate one, but I kept the other one.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
That's self-love. That's self-love. Speaking of Anna's point about them being indoor clothes, that's kind of what it is that it's like, it's almost hot because it's like they're wearing underwear outside in the same way that like my greatest fantasy is like a dad wearing like an open robe and boxers running out to get the paper, like how hot, you know? And and so that's kind of what the pajama pants are to me.
Uh-huh. You can place them, you can visualize them at home. This is what it would be like to be at home with this person.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, when I see someone in pajama pants, I'm like, oh my God. Are we at your home?
I do love that every time I bring up what is hot about it, you guys are like, that's literally not what we're talking about. Please stop talking about that. And I'm like, right. To that point.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I'm fucking out of shit to say. I'm sorry.
No, Anna, long silences in the podcast are natural because people know that we're thinking.
Let me tell you something. of all the topics we've done, this has to be the most specific one, is wearing flannel pants to run errands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, in the past we've had, you know, let's say, you know, football or what's another one, Sam?
Lakes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And this one is so specific, but that's what makes it so powerful.
There's power in numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have to say, sorry, go ahead, Sam.
Well, I always like get one pair of these fucking pajama pants for Christmas, and I literally never wear them. I have my tasteful sweatpants, and I'm not in a mental place where I'm ready to wear these flannel pajama pants. And yet I keep getting them for Christmas and then donating them the very next year. Drives me bonk a clock.
Wait, I feel like we should
giving them to you. Like,
yeah.
George has heard this. You know, I don't like to. I get silent around my family. I don't like to give critique. I keep the peace.
Here's what I think you should do: send them this episode, and be like, maybe there's something in this for you. And they'll hear that you don't like the pajama pants.
Say, I'm really proud of this episode. It would mean a lot to me if you listen to it.
Yeah, and then be like,
and
try to listen around.
I don't like.
They call me crying, and they're like, we know that you think flannel pajamas are hot, and we're so happy you told us. Like, the fact that they're like underwear for dads is like, we're so proud of you for letting us know that. And I'm like, and then they're like, we stopped listening right after you said that. And I'm like, no!
Wow.
Any final thoughts on walking to this? What's the official phrasing?
Going to a bodega in flannel sweatpants that are rolled at the waist.
Okay, great.
That is not the phrasing that we agreed upon.
No. I like that. I like that. Here's my final thoughts on it. One time, so
I tell this is going to be a good wrap up.
One time before my family moved back to Greece, when we were in New Jersey, one time I saw a really cool guy at my school wearing slippers that had the Notre Dame, like the University of Notre Dame, as the Americans say, logo on them. So it was two slippers and they had the ND on them. And I thought that was like, I guess, what the cool kids were doing. So I literally went out, bought those exact slippers, had never watched college football in my life. And then, of course, knew that my parents would not let me wear slippers in school, brought them within my backpack, and then put on these Notre Dame slippers in school so I could, like, seem cool. And then a teacher looked at me in the middle of class and was like, are you wearing slippers? And then I felt really embarrassed. And it turns out that the guy only was wearing them because it was, like, after school and it was more casual.
Anna, you go.
Wow, I've really, like... messed up the momentum.
When the teacher said, are you wearing slippers, what did you say? Like, yeah, you changed them, or you were like, yeah, and you kept wearing them?
I kept wearing them. I didn't change them in the middle of class.
Yeah. You could have said no and pretended to be tying them. No.
Yeah, maybe I should have done that.
To be fair, it sounds like the kid that brought slippers to change into after school is the weird one.
Yeah, why?
I know, but I think
school. I'm like, school's done, so now I can finally put on my comfortable clothes and just chill around school.
Wait, I'm like, did he end up going to jail? Hold on.
Why did he go to jail?
Because there's this really strict rule in New Jersey.
Wait, I'm literally looking him up because I want to know what he's up to right now.
There's this really strict rule in New Jersey that you're not allowed to wear slippers in school. That's why that teacher was asking George.
But slippers is like the precursor to pajamas in class in college, which of course leads to the flannel pants at the bodega.
Wow. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, mm-hmm. I wore slippers around when I was in college. I did wear slippers to class. Mm-hmm. But they were like tasteful,
hidden slippers. It is a very college thing. Yeah.
Okay, I have amazing news.
Oh.
He lives in Hoboken.
I'm so proud of you.
Wait, I have even more amazing news.
Oh, yes, please.
He's married to a surgeon.
Hey, you know, sometimes being married to a surgeon is a prison all its own.
I'm really proud of her. Also, she seems to be a surgeon influencer.
Oh.
Whoa. That's kind of a new genre.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
I think she like is peddling some kind of like weird products.
Oh no.
I think she's like one of those doctors that's like doctor approved this thing that you burn your stomach with to lose weight.
Oh no.
Well, you know what? Good for her.
No, you know, that's weird. I think it's weird. I think it's weird when people that are already doing something where they make have a good salary are like then also like, oh, I'm going to get into the influencer business and make more money trying to convince people to buy shit that they don't need.
Wow. You really went off.
Humble brag much?
Well, I guess I am confused why, like, isn't being a surgeon hard enough? I guess part of me is like, is she lying about being a surgeon to peddle these wares?
Maybe she got into medical school, did her degree, became a surgeon, decided she really doesn't like it, the hours are too long, so now she's trying really hard to make the switch to influencer.
Uh-huh. Okay, this
so we're kind of catching her in this transitional phase where she's surgeon by day, influencer by night.
Yeah, I'm not a surgeon, not yet a peddler of wares. This is a serial season 4. Figuring out what this girl's deal is. Should we do our final segment?
Let's do it. Sorry, I'm trying to find a shirtless pic of this guy.
Why?
I don't know, because he's hot. Okay, I X'd out of it.
Okay.
He was hot then, too. I mean, I wouldn't think that now.
Well, now I know why you wore the slippers. You were trying to get in with this guy.
Yeah. No, he was, like, older and was, like, a friend of mine's older brother.
That sounds hot.
It was hot. It was very hot when I copied him and he had no idea who I was.
George, will you explain the final segment? You're so good at it.
Okay. Anna, in our final segment called Shoutouts, we pay tribute to one of the foundational aspects of straight culture, which is radio shoutouts. Imagine you're in TRL and you're looking down at the people that are there and you are giving a shout out to your friends back home. The end. And Sam, you can go first. I don't have one.
Okay. What's up, listeners? My name's Sam, and I am coming at you from New York, New York, and I just want to give a quick shout-out to whales. I went on a whale watch recently, and it was simply to die for. Whales are so big, and they move so slow, and you gotta respect that. I love whales. I love the ocean. Sometimes I think I would love to live in the water. When I was a kid, I read the book Animorphs, and I was like, this is incredible, and I wish I could touch a dolphin and absorb its being and then turn into one and swim along the whales. I don't want to be a whale because I don't think I can handle the pressure of being so majestic, because that's exactly what they are. What's up, whales? I love you. XOXO. Sam.
Woo! That was really, very, really powerful, but I still don't have one. Let's see. Okay. What's up, listeners? I want to give a quick shout out to, in tennis, when the players grunt when they hit the ball. I think that it's when it's women, it's empowering, and when it's men, it's sexual. And I really like that, and that's kind of the only binary I am comfortable with. I said it. And I think it's also really fun when the two players that are playing have different grunts, so you hear kind of, I feel like that's really cool. And if you close your eyes, you can imagine that they're doing something different. So that's all I have to say. Thank you. Shout out.
Woo! Okay, Anna, whenever you're ready.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, Carson, thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to give a big shout out to my friends and family in Nevada. Hello, but you never thought you'd see me here. It's been years. Oh, well, finally I turn up. I want to give a big shout out to none other than Lockheed Martin and Raytheon for keeping my country safe. Thank you for protecting American interests, not only at home, but also abroad.
Woo! This podcast is on record as being a huge fan of Raytheon.
Yeah,
Lockheed Martin, of course, we have our issues with, but you know, we do know they're doing great work.
Sam has some issues. I'm actually no notes for me. Sam's the political one.
That's always so true. I'm the horny political one, and George is the one that has a job that I don't know what it is, so I say he just is a professor at Harvard. Mm-hmm. Well, Anna, thank you so much for doing our podcast.
Anna, what a treat. What a blessing. I'm going to now go and look up photos of this guy.
Okay, bye.
I guess.
Wait, bye. Anna, don't leave.